Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
There's nothing like sinking into luxury. At washablesofas.com, you'll find the Anabe sofa, which combines ultimate comfort and design at an affordable price. And get this, it's the only sofa that's fully machine washable from top to bottom, starting at only $699. The stain-resistant performance fabric slipcovers and cloud-like frame duvet can go straight into your wash, perfect for anyone with kids, pets, or anyone who loves an easy-to-clean, spotless sofa. With a modular design and changeable slipcovers, you can customize your sofa to fit any space and style. Whether you need a single chair, love seat, or a luxuriously large sectional, Anabe has you covered. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your home. Right now, you can shop up to 60% off store-wide with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Add a little to your life. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Welcome to the show, guys. I'm glad you're here tuning in with me for another live. We're trying to get it going here on a Thursday. Listen, I told you guys, I think the weird Wednesday stuff is in the past. I think we're done with that because Wednesday just doesn't work for me. So we're going to be trying to do it whenever we can. And today it is Thursday. Sometimes it might be a Friday. Sometimes it may be a Wednesday or a Monday, or who knows, maybe a Saturday, but here we are on Thursday. Welcome to another live show. And joining me here on the channel here on Rumble and YouTube. That's right. We're going live right now on Rumble. I'm going to try to go live more on Rumble. I quite often just forget to do so when I do these lives. So anybody watching from Rumble, welcome and thank you for joining us. I know you, if you're watching from Rumble, there's a strong chance you're very anti-YouTube. So I'm going to try to make sure we go live for you as well, because you're missing the lives. You're missing the lives. I've been running around a lot this week. We had an in-studio guest, Pastor Troy Brewer. So I think I talked about it last week. I think I talked about it last week on the show. I went down to Texas for the convention, and I got to sit down with a bunch of different authors, one being Pastor Troy Brewer. And that was like 2 or 3 weeks ago. And he came up here to the studio. He came up to the studio, he flew up here to spend some time with me. We went for 2.5 hours yesterday, or 2 days ago, and it was just absolute fire. I don't know what else to tell you other than it is 100% a fire episode, and I hope you guys stick with it when it comes out, because it we start off in on a topic that I was told not to start off on by his son, because his son was afraid that we would lose some of the audience before we get to, you know, maybe more the confessionals type of content. But important things must go first. And Pastor Troy spends a large portion of his time traveling the world, fighting human trafficking and rescuing children. Over 11,000 kids have been saved by Pastor Troy and his ministry. And they house these kids all over the world. They put them in homes, like legit, like they set up the homes for these kids to be in. And it's just an amazing, amazing man. And doing such things in the human trafficking realm of stuff, fighting that, you probably can imagine there's a lot of spiritual warfare that comes with that. And that's kind of where we went into and focused in on. We started talking about, you know, what he does, and then we transitioned into some of the things that he's gone through because of it. And I bring all this up because My new YouTube channel, I don't have a banner or else I'd put it up. But my new YouTube channel, if you were just to go on YouTube and search Tony Merkel or Merkel IRL, it will pop up and you can definitely go ahead and give it a subscribe. But the most recent video on there, I only have three videos on there, but the most recent video is a clip of me and Pastor Troy from when I was doing his show down in Texas, talking about when he was in Mexico and his son and one of his other partners, while they were on a mountaintop being prayed for by the locals, they saw about a 25-foot-tall giant that came up over the ridge, and they stood there watching it for like 25 minutes. And that video has gotten a lot of attention. Last I checked, I think it was over 100,000 views in about 2 weeks or so. So if you haven't checked it out, go ahead and check it out. And yes, we did get to the giant conversation, the giant story when he sat down here in the studio with me. And it was a really, really good conversation. And I hope you guys enjoyed it. It's going to be out April 8th, I believe, if I remember correctly. You guys can fact check me. If April 8th is not a Tuesday, then it's not coming out April 8th. If April 8th is a Tuesday, then that's the day it's coming out, and I'm thinking correctly. But before he got here, I was running around trying to do some tie up loose ends here in the studio, because we have done some more renovations here, and I was trying to get it all together so it looked nice for guests, you know. And I want to show you some of these pictures here. So basically, we built a green room, and the green room, eventually, it's not set up completely yet technology wise, but eventually what we're going to be doing is where I sit here for these shows, remote interviews, and when I'm doing these live shows with you guys here on YouTube and Rumble. We have a whole command station here, and Jack usually sits here when we're doing in studios, and I sit behind the camera that you're looking at now. There's a whole room over there with a table and everything. And what we're trying to do is we're going to pipe the video and audio from what's happening in here to a TV that's in the green room. And that way, when people bring guests, because a lot of times people bring friends and stuff like that, so it's usually anywhere from two to sometimes I've seen five people in here, and they want to watch the interview. It gets kind of crowded in here and warm because of all the bodies. So now we have a green room. So if you take a gander, this is the new green room. If some of you guys have been around for a long time, you might recognize that room a little bit, because that was my office. I don't have an office anymore. My brother has an office. I do not have an office anymore. I come in the morning and I sit right here and I work on these computers because I ran out of rooms. And but I thought this was a little bit more important to create a green room. And so you can see the TV that's up there on the wall. The couch is there, and you know, we have the water. Actually, that the water cooler is no longer there. It's in the hallway. We put a beverage fridge there now, and a coffee station, and just a relaxing green room. And when we have guests that are actually here, we'll put some food on the table over there in the corner, just to kind of for people to relax and enjoy themselves. If you look closely out the window, that tall window there, that is my beautiful truck sitting there, making a cameo, first time cameo right here on the channel. But then there's another angle here. Let me show you this one. That's from the other side of the room. We also have a bookshelf. I'm fortunate that I have plenty of publishers, I guess is what the proper terminology, book publishing companies that send me free books. And so I have lots of books on a bookshelf that when guests come, they can peruse and pick from and, you know, take home with them. You know, they're free books. They're given to me for free, so I give them away for free. And, you know, just things like that. So if you see, though, the wall that is sitting behind the bookshelf, that wall didn't exist. When this was my office, that wall wasn't there. And if you look, I don't know if you can see my cursor, probably not, but yeah, you definitely can't. But if you look through that doorway, there's another door you see a little bit of. That's the door to come into our facility. And you would walk right into my office. And that was annoying anyways. But now we have, it's a little bit more, you know, split up and fun. So that's some of the renovations we did around the studio. And it was a mad dash to get it all finished and complete. And then there was one piece that wasn't finished and complete. And unfortunately, the delivery came on Monday when it was supposed to, but they delivered it down the road from me. So I didn't get it until the following day. And that is, we got a new studio table, custom made. Check this out. We have a new studio table here, and this is actually not the best picture, to be honest with you, because if you right underneath the table, the legs on the end closest to the camera is in the shape of an M, and so I thought that was a unique thing. So we have a new studio table. I got to put the microphones, drill the holes, and put the microphones and mount that, all that stuff. But you can look forward to seeing that in future in-studio interviews. We're just trying to do some new things here and just kind of give it a new viewer experience and also in-person experience when people come so that they can enjoy themselves comfortably. We're trying to make things comfortable for the people. Listen, guys, I have I was going to talk about the JFK files today, but similar to the whole Diddy thing, I didn't feel like it after so many people were talking about it. And honestly, with the JFK files, everything that I've seen so far, from what I understand, you can go online and download all the files yourself and go through it if you want to be an independent journalist, which I highly encourage independent journalism. But I think anybody can go and access these files, which is fantastic. And you can go look through it for yourself. But last I heard, there was about 80,000 pages, and I'm not even going to pretend that I would ever even attempt to go through that. So there's that. I'm not going to go through that. But also, you know, I figured I'd give my thoughts on it. But you know, so many people are coming out talking about it. I figured, it's kind of getting beat to death. And really, everything that I've seen so far is just reconfirming the quote unquote conspiracy theories that we have, grown accustomed to over the years. It turns out they're true. Who killed, real quick in the chat, wherever you're listening and stuff, just do me a favor. Post in the chat, who killed JFK? You put it right in the chat. And let us know who killed JFK, because I got a sneaky suspicion there's going to be a lot of the same answer. A very short answer, because it was kind of confirmed. Let me pull up the chat here. It was kind of confirmed in these documents. And everybody's saying the CIA and the Soviets, CIA, the CIA, Mossad, CIA, CIA. Yep. Yes. The CIA killed our president, and it's been confirmed now. I did see that document, and you know, I was sitting here thinking about it too, because I'm going to be 100% honest with you guys. The JFK assassination conspiracy has been something that has never made the hairs on the back of my neck stand up. And you know, I often wonder why, because so many people are into it. Why does it not get me like all up in arms and wanting to, you know, spend my whole life digging and finding out who killed our president? And it kind of hit me this morning when I was looking at it briefly before I decided to scrap the story. It's kind of like the kids these days, you know, like I'm going to be turning 40 this year. And, there's a whole world of adults who they weren't here for 9/11, right? I was in 11th grade, I believe. I think it was 11th grade. I know I was in science class. I remember watching it on TV in science class. But there's a whole world of adults who are voting adults in this world who never, they weren't alive during 9/11. They never experienced the world before 9/11. They literally don't understand what it feels like to live in the 90s. And because of that, you see it. You see, they don't really care as much as many of us do who lived through it. You know, there are people who lost relatives in that day that are you know, middle-aged people, young adult people. I mean, there were children who lost parents that day who, you know, were younger than I was when it happened. They're young adults. and it affects them deeply. But there's a whole world of kids and young adults who grew up in a world where it didn't affect their family. It's just a date on a calendar to them, and it means absolutely nothing. They don't have an emotional tie to it, is what I guess I'm trying to say. In a similar sense that with Pearl Harbor, we don't really have emotional ties to it. Like, we know about it and we understand the idea behind it and what was theoretically happening in that time and era, and why Pearl Harbor happened and how, you know, we egged it on to happen because our president kind of wanted to get into the war and he needed a reason for it. But there's not an emotional attachment to it. At least for me, there's not. And I think that maybe the JFK assassination kind of falls in that category for me. I understand it happens, or it happened. Hopefully it doesn't happen anymore. But there just really wasn't much of an emotional tie for it to me. So that plus everybody else digging in on, and quite honestly, people digging in on it that are just way more qualified than I am. Like, if you want to think outside the box with the woo-woo and the weird stuff, like, I'm your guy. I'll be that guy for you. And I definitely believe I can be. But I'm not the guy that's going to be breaking down the history of what was going on in the 60s and what got Kennedy assassinated. And, you know, it's just not how my brain operates. I'm very much a dystopian futurist believes. I know the world's going to come crashing down. And I kind of enjoy looking at what's happening around us and trying to predict and feel my way into what's going to happen in the future and how it's going to get here. It maybe enjoys the wrong word. It's not like I like watching a fun movie to me, but it's just something that I'm kind of geared towards mentally. It's really started happening for me in my mid to late 20s. Driving truck. You're driving down the road and you start seeing things and you start hearing about things. And I remember I was, this was before the podcast. I don't know when this was, but I know I wasn't podcasting. It was probably about 15 years before I moved to Tennessee, because this was kind of the spawn of it for me. I was driving down 276, which is the turnpike in right outside Philadelphia. And I was driving my truck. And I couldn't physically see the skyline of Philadelphia where I was at. I was up towards the Willow Grove area, Ben Salem area. But I'm driving south towards King of Prussia. And in my mind's eye, I'm driving down the highway. I can see out the left side of my window. Like, in my mind's eye, not physically, just like, I wasn't having an out-of-body experience. If you want to call it a download of some kind, but I saw the skyline of Philadelphia and there's smoke and not a lot. It wasn't like everything was burning, but there was lots of smoke and some flames as if something bad had just happened. And something in me just said, that's entirely possible. Something really bad could happen in Philly. Not many people know that Philadelphia is the former national capital. Before it was Washington, D.C., it was actually Philadelphia. And I just started feeling like if there was going to be, and at the time, the thought and fear, I suppose, was that there was going to be a foreign adversary. But my thought was that if somebody is trying to make a statement about how they're going to take out America from moving forward, they're going to take out how it started, where it started, and where the Liberty Bell is. And it just, all these things started popping through my head. And that was probably around the beginning of the futurist dystopian Tony. I started, like, it just felt so real to me. And I started daydreaming about the idea and the day that I could leave the area and move away. And I had been wanting to move to East Tennessee for probably 10 to 15 years. So that was probably the beginning of how my brain works. And then I found Clyde Lewis, who is a radio host out of Portland, Oregon. And he's very much geared like that. And he really helped me learn how to think on a new level, outside the box, as the kids say. And so, yeah, I just, getting back to the point, I'd say is the JFK assassination is something that that has just never got that going for me. And I think it's because I'm more geared towards futuristic type things. But I was right, by the way. I was right about Philadelphia, just wrong context. So it wasn't a foreign adversary. It was domestic. And anybody who knows anything about what's been happening in Philadelphia over the last 5 years, it is terrible. It has become the... not the heroin capital of the world. What's the fentanyl capital of the world? Like, I mean, literally people are, the North Philadelphia, it looks like a war zone sometimes. And it's just hopelessness. And so I wasn't totally wrong. And also the year that we moved away, they had a record year. When I got married in 2007, that's how old I am these days, kids. I got married in 2007. But when we got married, they had a record year of murders. It was a little over 350. And when we moved away, they had a new record, which was over 550 murders. Not to mention the fact that Philadelphia was turning into San Francisco East Coast. So homeboy had to take his family out of there. I wasn't going to raise my family anywhere close to the city. Little did I know, moving to Tennessee, you know, it's beautiful and, you know, it's more conservative, which fits me and my family's lifestyle. That was all great, but it's another, I've moved my family from behind the enemy lines to the front lines of a war. And when I say that, it's because though it matches us, this culture here matches us, our personal family environment, this is the war zone. This is the battlefield right here. Because there's a lot of people who are God-fearing people here, the opposite is very heavy here as well. Lots of witchcraft, lots of paganism and ancient old things here that that rear their ugly heads. And so did I move my family to safety in one sense, but I moved them to a battlefield in the other sense. But this battle, I feel like we are very equipped to fight in. And so, yeah. All right. So let's talk about some things here today, friends. We have three different types of topics I want to get in on, and I'm not exactly sure how deep we're going to go on all three of them, but I do want to hit on this first one. If I can pull it up. Nope. Is that it? Yes. Perfect. I did it. So I'm probably going to be moving away from StreamYard soon. But before I do, I'm trying to learn some of the new features that are rolling out. And I don't want to say I'm moving away from StreamYard permanently. I just want to see, I'm probably going to be using a software called Ecamm to do live streams at some point here in the near future, because I want to see if it helps the streaming quality. Because obviously, like we were talking about last week and how you probably see today, it's a little glitchy at times. I want to know is it to StreamYard? Can I fix that with Ecamm, or is it really truly my East Tennessee internet? And do I need to pay, like I said last week, my goodness, like $560 a month for fiber optic internet going to a business? Like, residential is one thing, but going to a business building like where we're at, it costs a little bit more. And I really don't think I want to invest that kind of money into higher quality internet, but at the same time, it's kind of my job. So I'm trying to figure out the balance here. But anyways, I'm glad this is happening. I'm glad that I figured this out, because they have some things called scenes here. And if I click on the scene that's already pre-built, theoretically it pulls up what I want, and so far it works. So anyways, back on track here. I forgot to take my alpha brain this morning. So, and I'm completely dry on energy drinks. So, we're going to run on fumes here. Fumes, I say. But it turns out there's a new study suggesting that black holes may be portals not cosmic traps. So traditionally speaking, you know, the idea that science would float out, I don't even know if black holes are scientifically proven yet. I know at some point during the podcasting career of mine, the 8 years I've been doing this, at some point during that time, it was not proven scientifically. It was all theoretical. So I don't know if it has ever crossed that threshold yet, but theoretically, black holes were something that scientifically, but also sci-fi wise, if you think about imagery, it's going to suck matter in, it's going to suck things in and quantumly crush them. Like it's an infinite crush. Like if you get sucked into a black hole, the idea was that it just crushes you to infinity. Like it just, you ceased, like the very molecules you're made of cease to exist is from what I understand. I could be wrong. But and from what I understand, that was the theoretical thought process behind black holes. And now there's new suggestions through these new studies that it's not that they would act more like a portal. And I was talking to my wife about this morning because she's the one who wrote this article. If you want to read the article, you can head over to theconfessionalspodcast.com and hit the read tab. And that is where she posts the blogs. But when I was talking to her this morning, she said the original article she was reading kind of had it worded weird and she didn't feel like it was entirely the most accurate. And so this is the title she came up with, which I love because she knows my trigger words. But the idea behind this is that the black hole actually is a little bit more sci-fi than it is science. It seems like the black holes, if they're real, there's a study that suggests that they suck things in and do not actually crush them, but they spit them out into some other portion of the universe. And that other side of the black hole is considered a white hole. Now, I've heard of white holes before. Essentially, if you think about a black hole sucking things in, the white hole is ejecting things out. So it's like a portal in the sense that there's a threshold, which is the black hole itself. And as you cross into that threshold, when you exit that threshold, you exit into another existence, another universe. Or I don't want to say universe, because they don't know. But theoretically, according to this study, if say you had an Elon Musk type of spacecraft, you know, like say the one that just saved the guys off of the International Space Station, brought them home, it refueled and you hop on it and you just take off for the stars and it has the ability to take you wherever you need to go and you're floating through space, you're lost in space and you see the black hole. Theoretically, according to this, it will suck you in. And instead of crushing you to cease to exist, like the very essence of you ceasing to exist, it actually pipes you in and spits you back out through a white hole into some other location, whether that's another realm, another dimension, another part of this universe or another universe. That's yet to be determined, but theoretically, this whole thing is now, they're really considering the idea that it will suck you in and spit you out. And so, oh man, I had just had a funny joke, but I don't know if you guys would think it's funny, so I'm just gonna let it go. Oh man, put the brakes on it. I found that interesting. And then there's this. Somebody on X had sent me a message on X, and I clicked the link, and there's this video here. And this video, theoretically, is some kind of device that was said to be in CERN, but it's not in CERN. So let me, break this down for you. So this guy here, bluntly put philosopher, says demo of plasma stellarator filmed at CERN on an employee's phone. And when you look at this thing here, whatever this is, It doesn't look like something I would say is at CERN. It looks kind of, it doesn't look very sophisticated is what I'd say. But you got these rings coming off of it. And this person that sent it to me said, this kind of looks like a portal generator of some kind. And I was like, oh, it kind of does maybe. But it turns out it's actually this guy. His name's Nathan Belmore, and his video from 2 years ago just went viral because somebody wanted to say it was from CERN. But this guy creates pretty cool crap in his, well, pretty cool stuff. I don't want to say crap, but pretty cool stuff in his garage, seemingly. And this was just one of them. I don't know exactly what a stellarator is, but it looks pretty, I don't know. You tell me. Let me know in the chat. What do you think? Do you think something like this, living next door in your neighbor's garage, makes you feel comfortable or uncomfortable? Because if I found out my next door neighbor was doing this or this over here, which is basically having fire flames going to the rhythm of classical music, I would feel a little concerned that his house might blow up and mine might get some shrapnel piped into it. I don't know. But I thought it was kind of cool, and I was going to actually go into this in the CERN stuff, but I was like, well, it's actually not from CERN, so why would I even do that? That is the black hole topic of today that I wanted to talk to you about. And, you know, let me bring me back up here. Let me see here. There we go. So, you guys let me know what you guys think about the black hole thing, because to me, I think probably there's a strong chance that black holes do exist. I think probably most scientists believe that, even if it is just theoretical. But what those things are and what they do, from what I understand, the idea traditionally has been that, you know, a collapsing star on itself and it just kind of, you know, poof, you know. Let me know though. And, while I have yous, feel free to go ahead and check out MerkMerch.com. I always forget to tell you guys this, these episodes are brought to you by MerkMerch.com and MerkleFilms.com. We do have a new t-shirt coming. I have it sitting over here. I'm just waiting on the final roll call of the printing. And then we're going to be putting them up for some sales for members first, because we got to take care of the people who love me. So let us screen share again, and let's move on to the next topic here. Epstein. So this woman here has been making her rounds on X recently, Juliet Rose Bryant, and she is somebody who I thought it would be worth bringing up a little bit today. She's been out for a couple years now, actually. I think the earliest interview I was able to find of hers was with Richard Willett. He works for David Icke over at Iconic, and he interviewed her years ago. I think it was like 2 years ago. And she told her story there, but recently she's been making rounds because of some of the claims that she was making. So what I want to do is I want to let you hear this video of hers first, and then we will go into the most recent. So you guys let me know, because last week, it turns out the audio wasn't running for the SNL skit, so there was just a bunch of quiet audio. You guys got to give me a thumbs up in the chat when I hit play, and let me know if you can hear this.
My name is Juliet Grimes. I was kidnapped by Jeffrey Epstein 21 years ago. I'm 41 years old now. This happened when I was 20. I met him when he was in Africa with Bill Clinton. I was taken there to model and soon kidnapped to the island. I was taken to all the properties over an 18-month period. Many unexplained things happened to me there. I've been trying to write a book about it.
So you guys are getting silence, huh? You're getting silence. That's not good. I don't know why you're getting silence. I have everything open. All right, so we'll have to troubleshoot that another time. I'll just tell you what's going on. So basically, Juliet Bryant, she has come out as one of Epstein's victims. And she, in earlier interviews, has broken down what she went through, how she was recruited, how she was tricked into basically being human trafficked by Jeffrey Epstein. And now she was on a most recent interview with Jay Anderson. And it's really unfortunate you guys can't hear this. That's really unfortunate. but she was on with Jay Anderson talking about her experiences. And just as he was getting ready to talk to her, I believe she claims that she was in some kind of scientific lab in New Mexico, I believe. And just as he started introducing that topic, because that topic goes into the idea of the human cloning side of things. I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago, the idea of human cloning. I remember talking to somebody about it. Maybe it was you guys, but human cloning is absolutely something that's possible. I gotta be careful how I say this. There have been some contacts that I've had over the years that have pushed me information. And one thing that they sent me was a website that was selling human cloning. Their claim was that it was an authentic website. I have no way of proving that, but the person that sent it to me was very well connected. And I had no real reason to object to them on it. But the New Mexico Science Lab is along those lines. And I think Juliet Bryant believes that these beings, these entities, I will call them beings and entities, because I believe what we see with our naked eye is not always a human being. They're doing human cloning. And why would they be doing human cloning? That is, you know, that's something for you guys to maybe think about and wonder out loud about. But there's a lot of topics that we have covered on the show that would point to the fact that if these people are working for beings on from other, you know, dimensions and locations, we hear Fringe and people like Fringe who have been on the show talking about what they went through as they were abducted. Maybe the whole abduction process, this is all part of the abduction process. We hear people talking about seeing human trafficking and involving UFOs. They see people being human trafficked and being walked onto UFOs. One of our military veterans, I think 2 years ago, came out talking about that. I just thought of that now. I wish I would have thought about that earlier. I would have queued that up so you guys could not hear the audio. And that's what I'm trying to do right now. I am trying to pull up the video on my phone and then be able to pipe it in through Bluetooth to you so you can at least hear it.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
There's nothing like sinking into luxury. At washablesofas.com, you'll find the Anabe sofa, which combines ultimate comfort and design at an affordable price. And get this, it's the only sofa that's fully machine washable from top to bottom, starting at only $699. The stain-resistant performance fabric slipcovers and cloud-like frame duvet can go straight into your wash, perfect for anyone with kids, pets, or anyone who loves an easy-to-clean, spotless sofa. With a modular design and changeable slipcovers, you can customize your sofa to fit any space and style. Whether you need a single chair, love seat, or a luxuriously large sectional, Anabe has you covered. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your home. Right now, you can shop up to 60% off store-wide with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Add a little to your life. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Yeah, but I think there's a strong chance that these people are human trafficking innocent people, women, children, through different means, such as UFOs. And what they're doing, I think they're probably trying to steal human DNA. And some of the things they might be doing is cloning them. And if you clone somebody, is that going to be a human shell? Or is that going to be somebody that has a duplicated soul? Is it going to be a vessel that can be inhabited by the things on the other side? Is it something where, imagine if Jeffrey Epstein himself was cloned, and what we saw as Jeffrey Epstein was actually a human clone being inhabited by a dark demonic entity, and that is why he was able to do certain things that is being claimed by Juliet Bryant. And I actually have it here on my phone, so take a listen.
Waking up in a lab, this was not on the island. This was in New Mexico.
On the island, I saw him shape.
Okay.
In the bedroom.
Let's talk about that first, and then we'll touch on this lab experience as well. So can you explain what you mean by shape-shifting here?
Well, when I was in the bedroom with him, because he used to take me into that small bedroom, and it was always dark and really cold. And then it was almost like when he was orgasming or something. Like, I looked at him, and suddenly his face, like, grew, like, big, like this. And then I saw these huge black eyes, like this. And then a big mouth with this horrible tongue and, like, this sort of dragon horn stuff, which is, like, almost like the devil or, you know, I can't explain really what I saw, because I saw, like, I mean, I can explain it, but it's, like, so hard. I did paint it, but I burnt that painting because I just hated it. But I can paint it again. But I just, you know, I saw him turn into this horrible, creepy thing. And I wasn't on drugs. I wasn't drinking alcohol. Nothing like that was allowed. You know, like, a lot of people think there were parties going on there. There weren't any parties. There was no alcohol. Absolutely not allowed. Like, you know, I smoked, but I had to smoke far away, you know, and hide. And I had to wash my hands after smoking. And they were very fanatical. They did not like things like that. But I, you know, I could have been drugged. I don't know, you know, because again, when you're in a place like that, they could slip something in your drink, you know, in your water or in your food. You know.
So you hear her telling this story, and I do want to say that I have reached out to her personally and invited her on to talk with me, and she responds to the messages, but she won't acknowledge my request. She sends me links to, like, videos of her talking about this or something else, but she won't respond to my request about coming on. And at first I thought it was her saying, no, I'm not interested. I've already talked about this, and here you can hear it there. But the last message I got from her was, it was weird. It was weird. And it seemed like, I don't know. My interactions with her seemed like she's a little off. But when you consider what a person has gone through, they would be a little off. There are things that she has been able to prove with her associations. So I know that she was associated with certain people that she's claiming. So my thought is that maybe she's not only suffered physically, but obviously mentally as well. So I don't know. I'd be open to talking to her, and I would be fine recording it, but depending on how that recording goes as to whether I would even release it, just because it's happened to me before. People who go through these kind of abuses, it's not that their story isn't truthful as much as they don't come off as the most sane person. And I don't think in those kind of situations, I don't think it's fair for anybody to release something like that. And I've seen it before. I've seen the pile-on happen before, and there's a ghost episode out there of mine that was requested by such a person to be taken down because of the reaction of the audience. And so I try to use wisdom in those kind of situations. So if I ever get a chance to talk to her, I would, but I don't know where it would go from there. But as she describes, she sees as he's raping her. Oh, I don't know if I can say that. Mark that down. Oh, crap. Okay. As he's abusing her, like, he turns into something else. It sounds demonic. It sounds like his head is grown. His eyes got big. She said she saw like horns coming out of his head. It sounds like he was turning into a reptilian. That's what it sounds like he was turning into. And so I know the idea of reptilians for some people is very far-fetched. And, you know, I personally don't even know how to view the topic. Somebody recently asked me about it. What do you think about reptilians? And I was like, I don't really think a whole lot about reptilians. I don't want to say it's impossible. I definitely don't think it's impossible given how I view the supernatural realm. I just don't know what to make of them. I don't know. There's so many different theories and thoughts and suggestions. But it sounds like what she witnessed was him transforming into some kind of reptilian. And the big eyes and the big head, the way she was using her hand motions in the video suggests that almost at first, it almost sounds like he was turning into like a gray. And then as she describes it with the horns and stuff, it's like, oh, well, that doesn't sound like a gray, but it does sound like a reptilian now. And so interesting recounting of a story that she's gone through. And I was going to play some other stuff of hers, but we're just going to move on because of the lack of video for you guys. But basically that's the gist of her story, that she is an Epstein Island survivor. And she's been, I believe she's been tested on MK Ultra level type stuff. And I think she believes that they were cloning. They were making clones of her. And that wouldn't surprise me whatsoever. Human cloning is absolutely real. And they, as far as I'm concerned, it is happening right underneath our noses. So there is that. So what I want to talk to you guys about now is there is a whole thing going on right now with the pyramids. And let me see here. Where am I going here? I just pulled up some videos that I can't even play for you now. So that's great. So it's going to rely on me telling you guys what's going on. So let me actually just take that off the screen and give you guys Big Tony. Big T! Just a couple days ago, there was a release of information, and there are plenty of people who believe that the release of this information is actually just the beginning, and they actually pieced it out with just bite-sized pieces to get people their ears perked up without overdoing it with information. The idea is this. There was some kind of scan. I think it's called SAR, S-A-R scanning. And it's done by satellite. This is all me recollecting off of information that I thought I'd be playing for you guys. So bear with me. But they scanned the pyramids in Egypt. And what they found was something that they never knew existed before now. And is actually unfathomable to comprehend when it comes to ancient civilization as we thought we knew it. Because the way we think about ancient Egypt is that they were the most advanced of their time. We don't understand how they built the pyramids, but they built the pyramids. And these people used, like, transportation-wise, they used horses and carts and wooden wheels, yet they built the pyramids in ways that we don't understand how they could have. And so that's the traditional viewpoint of historical archaeology when it comes to understanding how these things came together. But this new scan really makes you question what's going on here. And I've heard rumors of this before, and I would venture to say that I'm leaning towards the idea that this is probably more likely the situation. To me, all right, let me give it to you this way. What they found was 8 pillars underneath the Egyptian pyramids that extend far below the Earth's surface. Let me pull the stats here. I have them here. So they found these 8 pillars, and these 8 pillars extended, I believe it was, I don't have it here actually, but I believe it was about 1,200 feet under the surface of the Earth. And these pillars have these cylindrical, actually, I do have it on pictures here. Let me actually do that with you. There we go. Cool, cool, cool. All right. Now we're cooking. Now we are cooking. Wonderful. All right. So what they found, and before we get to what's underneath, let me just go over this with you. What you're seeing here, these structures, they found inside the pyramids. And there are 5 structures that have 5 layers to them and some kind of roof on them that is arched like that, like a peak that comes to a peak. These 5 structures, I don't know how big they are, but to me, they almost look like ancient like buildings inside the pyramid. Maybe there's some kind of shaft that you would go in the bottom level of and then go down. I don't know, but these are 5 ancient structures inside the pyramids they didn't know existed. They don't know what they are. And what I just said, I actually would lean against because of what I'm going to get into. They found 8 pillars underneath the pyramid that extend down into the ground. And I really believe it was about, I think it was, I really think it was 200 or 1,200 feet, maybe more. I think it might have actually been more than 1,200 feet. I think it actually was just under 2,000. It was 1,900 and I want to say 80. It was 1,980, let's say, feet into the ground. Okay, that's like half a mile down into the ground. And then as they scanned more, they started seeing that there was these coils wrapping around these pillars. And a lot of the people who were covering this were suggesting that this could be maybe some kind of these pillars and the coils going around them are like some kind of ancient like stairway almost of to go down into the earth. I don't think that's the case for me personally, you know, as just a goofball that's streaming on the internet. I don't feel like that's the case. I think this is much more technological than even archaeology or archaeological. But you see these giant, massive pillars extending, let's just say, a half a mile into the ground. And they have these coils going around them. As you get down further to the bottom of these coils, there's 2 sets of 4 pillars, and each set is sitting on top of a block. Then the blocks are 80 meters. I have that here, 262 feet per side. And the 4 pillars, there's 4 pillars on each block sitting there. These are cubic formations. Everybody. And of course, I get a phone call. These are pillars that are going down the ground and they're sitting on top of these blocks. Now, these blocks are between the blocks and the pillars, they extend to 1.24 miles. So we're talking about the pyramids sitting on the ground and that's all we have access to is these pillars or these pyramids sitting in Egypt on the ground. But underneath the pyramids, they have these pillars now that extend down in the ground. They have these coils that many people are feeling like there's some kind of stairway going down into the earth. And these 2 cubic structures that these coils sit on, people are floating around the idea that these are other vessels of some kind that the people would go down through these coils, these staircase coils, down into another structure. And what's in there, what they did, they don't know, but that's a running theory of what these things are. This is another look at, you know, these coils. This is kind of like what it looks like. Now, my thought on this is, I think what we're looking, and this is just what my gut says, that you say, show me the citation, show me the book that you read it in. No, none of that exists. My gut feeling is, this points to the theory that's been out there that ancient Egypt and what we see today existed before the Egyptians moved there, before the Egyptians got there. What we see today in Egypt, there's a theory, and this whole thing, this discovery really says to my gut, it puts me in that direction, that what we see in Egypt today existed before the flood. What I think we're seeing and what we're looking at is ancient fallen angel technology that was built and installed and utilized well before the Egyptians even got there. Now, on a different, same topic, but different note, to make that argument before today, there would be people who, and not the fallen angel angle, but the idea that the Egyptians did not build these things and they existed there before they got there. The Sphinx, when you look at the Sphinx looks like an animal of some kind with a pharaoh human head on it. When you look at the dimensions of the Sphinx and how everything's proportioned, it seems like the head is actually too small for the body. And there are suggestions that what was originally there was some kind of canine Anubis type of deity. Now, this is still going into the Egyptian lore, mythology. Those are the wrong words. What am I trying to say? Like the ancient Egyptian religion, Anubis was very much ingrained in that, right? But what if the Anubis structure that people suggest is actually what was the Sphinx before they cut away the dog head and put the pharaoh head there? What if that whole structure was actually there before they got there? And when they got there, that ancient Egyptian god presented itself to the Egyptians, and they brought themselves into worship of this ancient deity that was already there before they got there. That's a completely different note, but that's along the same line of thinking, that what is in Egypt now was there before the Egyptians got there. And this seems like, to me, technology. I don't think these pillars and the coil staircases going down are actual staircases. My gut says that what we're seeing here, and I'm going to show you here in a second, what we're seeing here, I believe, is ancient fallen angel technology that was installed there well before the flood. And I think it's some kind of energy transmitter. There's been a lot of people over the years that have suggested that the pyramids were some kind of energy source, and there's tons of different theories. People thought that there might be a lot of water underneath the pyramids, and they were harnessing the energy from that water. Lots of different theories that are beyond my comprehension and understanding. But what do we see here? Let me pull this up again. Let me flip back to this one here. So just keep in mind the blocks underneath the pillars. So there's four pillars per block. There's two blocks, eight pillars, and each pillar has the spiral coils going up it. And then you have on top, at the very top, you have the pyramid sitting on top of these coils. Now, to me, this resembles a lot of the Tesla coils. So this is a Tesla coil. You have a block sitting on the ground you have this pillar going up the middle, and you have this device sitting on top that is emitting energy, transmitting energy. And there's tons of these. Like you see here is another example. This is I think computer generated, but here's one that somebody built out in their yard. I mean, this is something. This is technology that we have figured out how to harness by the man himself, Tesla. So there's been a lot of theories and suggestions that Tesla was given this information by entities, and that a lot of the technology he had come out with was fallen angel technology to entities giving him this stuff. So you tell me, doesn't it look awfully similar, Tesla coils and what we see in Egypt now, knowing that there are 8 pillars extending nearly a mile and a half underground to these cubed boxes? I mean, to me, you would really need to like look the other way to pretend you're not seeing that here. I mean, even in this image here, you have the square cubed box of whatever this is. I imagine this is water solution, some kind of solution underneath the coil here. And then you have this pillar wrapped in a coil up to this device on top. And when you look at these different Tesla coils, they all have different shapes and they look a little different. And so, you know, was there a technology that was existing before the flood that looked a lot like this? What did the pyramids actually do? You know, we know that these the pharaohs would when they would die, they would be put into the pyramids. And I think there's been a lot of theories and reading ancient scripts to understand why they did these things and how they thought back then and what the whole meaning behind it was. But what if they put themselves as a pharaoh? You know, pharaohs believed that they were gods. They were a god. I forget what god they felt like they took on, but they believed that they were a god. Knowing that they were going to physically die one day, if they understood, like say they moved to this area, they came to this area, they encountered the ancient god Anubis there, and through their communications with these ancient gods that already existed at this location, this is clearly a very important location, they come to understand this technology. What if pharaohs put themselves, after they physically died, into these tombs, with the intention of firing up these coils at some point, one day? Maybe they were given a promise that one day these will fire up and they're going to emit this energy. Could it be that they had an understanding that if they were above the coils when they were fired up and that energy shot through their corpses, that they believed they would be resurrected? That's just a literal, I mean, maybe that's something that has been theorized before, but I thought about that this morning. And so I don't want to say it's my original because it may not be original, but it's definitely something that I considered this morning thinking about it. And when you think about like the Shroud of Turin, something that we need to cover on the show officially at some point. I need to get somebody on that actually has studied it and researched it. But the Shroud of Turin, if you don't know, has been long associated to the burial linen of Jesus Christ. And the idea is the shroud actually has the imprint of a man's face on it. And they've looked at this thing for decades and they don't know how it was imprinted on the cloth. And they don't, a lot of people have suggested it's, you know, the face of Christ, and it's treated like a religious artifact, but nobody, I guess, can prove where it came from officially, from what I understand. But let's just say it's the face of Christ. How did the face of Christ get on the Shroud of Turin? Well, what if when a body is resurrected, there's a pulse of energy that is emitted through that body. And that's what it imprinted onto the cloth, because they say that it's like an X-ray almost, like it's an X-ray image of the face that was wrapped up. And if you, anybody who's had an X-ray, you know, there's a pulse of energy that goes through the X-ray. Could this be something similar where a pulse of energy going through these pharaohs, their idea was that it would resurrect them, like Jesus Christ was resurrected. And I have another thought on pulses of energy and resurrecting bodies, but I think we'll save it for another day. But I think it's in Matthew, chapter 24. I think it's in Matthew chapter 24, verse 37. Somebody fact check me. But it says that, well, it's Jesus speaking. He says, just as in days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. And so there's a lot of things that like go into that. We talk about it on the show, the return of the Nephilim, but also what was going on in the days of Noah. Well, there were people who were living their lives. Civilization existed. There was an order to things. There was rules. There was law. So I don't think that when Christ's return happens, that it's going to be just 100% Nephilim chewing the arms and legs off of little children out in the hills of East Tennessee and just absolute utter chaos, because that's not exactly what was happening in the days of Noah. There were Nephilim walking the earth. There was also civilization of human beings. There was order to things. But things were degrading and going downhill. But what kind of technology was going on in those days? And is that technology going to start returning? I think what's going to happen here, my friend Joseph Z mentioned this just, I think, yesterday. I think what's going to start happening as we move further into this timeline and we get closer and closer and the dystopian nature of our existence gets greater and greater, I think what we're going to start seeing is so many revelations. The JFK files just coming out yesterday, the Epstein files hopefully coming, hopefully the 9/11 files coming. Like, there's going to be a revealing of information, but there's also going to be a revealing of old coming to current times and to current days. And I really feel like this could be something like that. I really feel like this is just my gut. I don't need you guys to agree with me, and it's fine. But my gut feeling says that what we're seeing here when it comes to what they just discovered underneath the pyramids, I really believe is fallen angel technology, ancient fallen angel technology. And I think it resembles the Tesla coils. And I think that whatever gave Tesla the formula to create such things came from something very ancient and old and existed well before Tesla was even born. And I think it was just information that was lost in time that was given to him to start the process of resurfacing what was old, what was happening in the days of Noah, the days of Noah returning. And that is when the return of the Son of Man comes. That's what I feel like this is a piece of. I really feel like this is ancient technology coming back, because we're getting that much closer to the return. So, what say you? What do you think? Let me know in the comments. It's a real bummer I couldn't play those videos for you guys. I really wanted to be able to show you guys the videos. I got to figure out why you guys can't hear that for the next stream, because theoretically everything's unmuted. You should be fine. You should be able to hear it. So I don't know why that's the case, but I really hope you guys enjoyed this one, though a little maybe shorter. I'm not sure how long. Oh, we've been going for a little more than an hour. That's fine. I really think that we're dealing with some ancient stuff here, guys. And I think that as time goes on, it's going to become more frequent, not less. I think if you like this stuff, you should gear up for more of it. And if you don't like this stuff, I think that you should probably buckle up, because I think as time goes on, this kind of stuff is going to become more and more frequent. Ancient discoveries of ancient technology, discoveries of old coming back. And I think as they discover the old, they're going to start implementing the old into the new day, the new era that we live in. So I hope you guys have a great week, and just keep your head up and don't do anything too crazy when you find your Tesla coils in your neighbor's garage. Stay calm and just call the police or something, because they're about to blow up the neighborhood. I'll see you guys next time. My way to the top, you get in my way, you know that I'm a renovate. You know I'm about to lock it. All my monster they was looking for just like the lock. This second they gonna knock me, got the gun, they better stop it. They can never reach me where I'm at, I'm in a rocket. Carpet. In other words, you can't touch me. No, it's like I got the ball and it's rubbing. And you won't see me when I'm coming through. You can't stop me, I'm running through. I'm untouchable, yeah, I'm untouchable, yeah, I'm untouchable, yeah, I'm untouchable. Fight for them. I'm the giant that they running from. Taking shots, I think they jump the guns. If they go against me, then they done.
Cars today are built to last, but how they look is up to you, and that's where Maaco comes in. They specialize in cosmetic repairs. Let's say it's affordable paint jobs to fixing those annoying dents and dings. Maybe your car's paint is faded, or you've been meaning to fix that scrape from the grocery store parking lot. Whatever it is, Maaco has you covered. Now, here's the best part. Stop by your local Maaco, free estimate, and you're going to find out how easy it is to refresh your ride. With more Americans keeping their cars longer, now's the time to protect your investment and keep it looking sharp for years. And you can do so with the great folks at Maaco. At Maaco, they are proud to be a trusted partner for drivers across the country. Whether it's a fresh coat of paint for your car or fixing up everyday dents and dings, Maaco is here to keep your car looking its best. Get started. Visit your local Maaco today. Get the free estimate and see how easy it is to bring new life to your ride. Uh-oh, better get Maaco.
Hey everyone, this is Carrie Champion, the host of Naked Sports.
When you sit behind the wheel of the all-new 2025 Nissan Armada Pro 4X, you'll feel like the entire world is your playground, and you'd be right. Because this unshakable fortress of a vehicle is built to take you on your next adventure. With a twin-turbo V6 engine, the all-new Armada is powerful enough to take you anywhere. With its 8,500 pounds of towing capacity, it will let you bring all your toys along. And with seating for eight, your whole crew can join you. Nissan created a truly capable vehicle in the all-new Armada. In fact, it's the first Armada to earn the Pro 4X badge, which Nissan reserves for its most adventure-ready vehicles. The Armada is a big SUV designed and built for big adventures. And must be experienced to be appreciated. Drive the all-new 2025 Nissan Armada today. Learn more at NissanUSA.com. Intelligent four-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LifeLock and use promo code iHeart or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Life's messy. We're talking spills, stains, pets, and kids. But with Anabay, you never have to stress about messes again. At washablesofas.com, discover Anabe sofas, the only fully machine washable sofas inside and out, starting at just $699. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, that means fewer stains and more peace of mind. Designed for real life, our sofas feature changeable fabric covers, allowing you to refresh your style anytime. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa effortlessly. Perfect for cozy apartments or spacious homes. Plus, they're earth-friendly and built to last. That's why over 200,000 happy customers have made the switch. Upgrade your space today. Visit washablesofas.com now and bring home a sofa made for life. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Time for a sofa upgrade? Visit washablesofas.com and discover Anabe, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices, with sofas starting at $699. Anabe brings you the ultimate in furniture innovation with a modular design that allows you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabe is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquid simply slides right off. Designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink and feel or a supportive memory foam blend. Plus, our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your living space today with no-risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get up to 60% off plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.